Sayyidah Aisha رضي الله عنها has reported that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "No one invokes blessings upon me except that an angel ascends with these blessings, presenting them before the Most Merciful, Most Exalted and Majestic. Our Lord Most Blessed and High then says, 'Take them to the grave of my servant. These blessings will seek forgiveness on behalf of the invoker and he'll be pleased with them.'" Subhanallah. Once again. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من عبد صلى علي صلاة إلا عرج بها ملك حتى يحيي بها وجه الرحمن عز وجل فيقول ربنا تبارك وتعالى اذهبوا بها إلى قبر عبدي تستغفر لقائدها وتقر بها عينه. That no servant, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that no servant invokes blessings upon me, no one recites Durood Sharif, except that an angel ascends with these blessings, presenting them, this salat ala nabi. An angel takes it and ascends, rises towards the heavens, ascends and presenting them before the Most Merciful, Most Exalted and Majestic, the Almighty Allah. Our Lord, Most Blessed and High, then says, "Take them to the grave of my servant. These blessings will seek forgiveness on behalf of the invoker and he'll be pleased with them." Allahu Akbar. In Zadu Sa'id, it is narrated from Al-Mawahib Al-Ladunniya that on the Day of Judgment, a certain believer will have less good deeds. The Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will place a parchment the size of a fingertip on the scale. The pan of good deeds will become heavy. The believer will say, "May my parents be sacrificed for your sake. Who are you? How beautiful your appearance and character are. The Noble Prophet ﷺ will reply, "I am your prophet, and these are the blessings you invoked upon me. I have recompensed you in your time of need. I have paid you back in your time of need." One should not doubt that a parchment the size of a fingertip can weigh down the scales, because it is sincerity which is of value to Allah. The more sincerity in an action, the more it shall weigh. In the hadith commonly known as Hadith al-Bitaqa, a piece of paper bearing the testimony of faith, Shahada, will outweigh 99 books of bad deeds, each book so big that it covers the horizon. The above mentioned hadith has been discussed in detail in part 3 of the second chapter of Fadail al-Dhikr, authored by this sinful servant, by Shaykh Rahimahullah. Refer to that hadith for more detail. Therein is the extra wording, "Nothing can be heavier than Allah's name." Other narrations in Fadail al-Dhikr all prove that it is sincerity which is valued by Allah the Almighty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to value the dhikr of Allah in any shape and form, one of which is reciting Durood Sharif upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which in addition to many of the benefits that we frequently discuss and talk about, has this added element of dhikr in it as well. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin wa anzil al-maqad al-muqarrab indak. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك الضوء له جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزي عنا ما هو أهله واجزي أفضل ما جازيت نبينا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So your station in this dunya, you've not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None of you have been had the chance to be with him. Because Allah azza wa jal sent your soul to the earth almost 14 centuries after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now it is up to you on the day of judgment if you want to be with him or not. It entirely depends on you. It's your reaction. If you have concern, if you want, then on the day of judgment you can be very close to him. And if you choose to stay away from him, then it's your choice. Then you won't be able to blame anyone other than yourself on the day of judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, people will be closer to me, the ones who recite more durood on me, invoke more peace and blessings upon me, they shall be with me on the day of judgment. And people that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man will be raised with the one that he loved. So if you have this flame of this flame of love of Rasulullah in your heart, if you dearly miss him, if your eyes get wet when his blessed name gets mentioned, if you have this sense of attachment with him, you're very lucky, mashallah. There is hope that inshallah you will be united with him on the day of judgment. But if that flame isn't there, if your heart doesn't really move when his blessed name gets mentioned, then there is a cause of concern. Then you should be worrying. Then you need to put in some effort. Just like you do other things, you need to get this spark in you. You need to develop this spark. And this will happen, and it's not difficult. This happens by frequently talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, frequently thinking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, frequently remembering him. So you can, the journey is very easy. You can start with studying Sirat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you decide for yourself. Have you ever studied the Sirat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from cover to cover? Have you? Do you know where was he born? In what kind of? In Subhanallah, he had the most pure and most rich life, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But do you really, have you ever sat down and thought about it? What his childhood was like, what his youth years were like, when he got married and his adolescence, and how was he as a husband, how was he as a father, how was he as a cousin, how was he as a nephew, how was he as a leader, how was he as a teacher, how was he as a giver, how was he as a taker? Have you ever thought about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that sense? This is something that our mashayikh rahmullah say, that in this day of age and fitna, this is where the sanctuary is. Sanctuary is the remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you'll find light in the blessed name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the love of Rasulullah will rescue you and he'll save you from drifting far away to the pits of Jahannam, to the pits of Jahannam. So if you want to save yourself, then try to tie yourself with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make him yours and you become his. So his concern should be your concern. His worry should be your worry. His goals should be your goals. And try and embrace Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you will benefit. You will benefit. Your children will benefit. Your family will benefit. And this is why the mashayikh recommend that on Thursday evenings we must have these majalis. Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi wa sallam wa ta'ala wa rahmatullah, he used to say that encourage people to hold such majalis in every masjid. Every masjid should have Durood Sharif Majlis on Thursday night where the seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talked about and where the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is discussed. Hazrat Shaykh Wana Muhammad Zakariya sahab nabarallahu marqadahu, he had instructed our Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi Yusuf, ek Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki seerat ki ek kitab English mein bhi honi chahiye, jis mein achche tariqe se aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka ta'aruf karaya gaya ho. So Hazrat Rahimahullah had said in 70s, Yusuf, he said to Hazrat Rahimahullah, okay, Yusuf, there has to be a kitab in English where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is introduced to people and the seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is introduced in its true sense. So people are able to relate to it without being portrayed in any kind of special light. It has to be genuinely as things are, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi then, as a result, mashallah, because he had made a promise with his shaykh that inshallah I'll make an effort. So Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi put together a kitab, Jami'u Siyar. And subhanallah, those of you who can read Urdu, you should make an effort to read that kitab, Jami'u Siyar. It's such a rich kitab. I can probably read to you some bits. There, Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi, one of the subjects he's discussed is that there were people who had the physical features similar to the physical features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their appearance was similar to the appearance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've heard about Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. In the battle of Uhud, when Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu fell, when he became martyred, when he was martyred, people thought that they had, subhanAllah, they thought that they had, subhanAllah, they had taken the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they assassinated him. And they were overwhelmed and a cry was raised in the battlefield, oh Mu'adhullah, that we managed to take the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which did have a devastating effect on the Muslims. But this was not only Mus'ab ibn Umair, there were other people as well that were during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and later on as well. And some of them, they became the means of hidayat for the non-Muslims. And this is Hazrat Alhamdulillah talks about one of the cousins of the Prophet, one of the nephews, the cousin nephews, children of the cousins of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were in the in Asham region, and he was he was a commander of a small section, and he drifted away from the main army, and they ended up in an area where there was a temple, and in mountains, and it was evening time, so the night was approaching, so they decided to spend the night in that temple, it was a kind of monastery. So the monk came out, and he started, when he looked at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he started studying everyone. And then when he found this cousin nephew of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at him, and he stopped, and kind of somewhat shocked, and he came up closer, and then he started studying the facial features of the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. And he then said, "Are you the awaited one? Are you the awaited one? Are you the one who the ummah is waiting for? Mankind is waiting for the awaited Prophet. Are you the one?" And the Sahaba then smiled, said, "No, it's not him. But his appearance is similar to the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He passed away." He said, "These are the very features that are mentioned in our kitabs, that the awaited Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet will be like this." So he says, "I'm a relative of his." He said, "I can see in your eyes that you're related to him." So this became a source of hidayat for many people, having the similar, and there are many, Hazrat Rahmatullah. Now this is something that you'd probably not find in many other kitabs, because people normally focus at the chronological events. Okay, year one this happened, year two this happened, year three this happened. Then Hazrat Rahmatullah talks about the camels that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam owned, and then there was one of the blessed routine of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he would give name to everything. So he had turbans, about four turbans Hazrat mentions, and each turban had its distinct name, its separate name. And he had the naqas, the she camels that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam owned. Every single one of them had a distinct name. And then Hazrat mentions the stories related to. He says when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to perform the farewell Hajj, he had this naqa, and then they mentions the name. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, he had this naqa. He mentions the name. And then he says that there was a race, camel race in Medina, and it was this naqa. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions it by name. And then you can, subhanallah, look at that one page, and you probably understand maybe many different chapters of Sahih Bukhari. Okay, this name comes in that hadith, this name comes in that hadith, this name comes in this hadith. And now you see that the whole picture on one page. And this is the kind of effort that Hazrat Rahmatullah made. It's a very distinct, very unique kitab, Jami' al-Siyar, but it's one of the many that other mashallah ulama rahmullah have written. So make an effort, study the seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The point I'm trying to make is that if you read one kitab, that may not be enough. When you were 16, 17, somebody inspired you, so you read a seerah kitab at the time, which was written by someone, and then you read it, now you think, I know everything. No, there's a lot more to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than one of us can ever understand and can imagine. We were studying in this majlis Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and studying Ahlul Bayt is also important. Ahlul Bayt, especially this day and age, there are countless channels on YouTube and other kind of media platforms where a very distorted view of Ahlul Bayt is presented, and often covered in a very negative light, and a lot of it is false as well. And so that has to be tackled. That somebody has to deal with it. And people, especially when it comes to the month of Muharram, which will be after Eid al-Adha, after Hajj, unfortunately, this is what everybody talks about, and this is what many, this gets pushed on all kind of media platforms. And so I don't want to go more, I've said a lot in the past, so don't need to repeat myself. You know what I've said previously. So understanding the seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and knowing the Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also important. So Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they still live on. The descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are still present. Maybe some in this majlis as well. Maybe some in this majlis be Sadat, someone sitting here as well. And there are definitely few in Glasgow, and there are few in any, almost wherever you go in the Muslim Ummah, you would find some people who are descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked us to be kind to them and to be gentle to the Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to reach out to them. Particularly, he said that don't give them your zakat. Do not give them your zakat. Do not give them your charity, your sadaqah. If you want to help them, look after them, and you will. If you look after them, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appreciates it. And you must have heard so many events, incidents that happened in the past. In Afghanistan, this story is, I think it's from Afghanistan. One of the nawabs, one of the elders, one of the sardars, years back, there was a woman. She came to him and she said that it's currently Afghanistan, obviously. At the time it wasn't called Afghanistan. She came to me and she said that I'm in dire need. I'm a widow, and I'm from Sadat, and I'm in desperate need, and I need help. And he looked at her and he said, "Everybody claims to be Sadat. Everybody claims to be Sadat." So he said, and then they just fake things. So where is the evidence that you're a Sadat? So you're from Ahlul Bayt. Where is the evidence? They just come. Everybody comes and starts claiming to be from Sadat. Said, "There's nothing for you with me." Stopped. And he just sent her away. Now as she left, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala had written for someone. There was a non-Muslim. They mentioned, I think it was some Hindu or some Sikh, and it's mentioned about Yani. This is it's a true event. So this person who was in the city at the time, she just happened to come across that person, and she happened to say that I'm from Sadat and I'm in need and that I've been sent away, and he said, "Okay, fine, come and I'll help you." So he helped her, he supported her, he gave her gifts, whatever she needed, he took care of her and gave her even more, and she came home. Next day, the Sardar, he had a dream. In his dream, he finds himself standing on the Day of Judgment, in the plain of Hashar. And there he finds himself being chased with his sins. And he finds himself in a lot more distress. And he comes across, he finds Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he rushes to him and says, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm your ummati, please help me, please rescue me." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to him and he says, "Where is the evidence? Where is the evidence that you're my ummati? Do you have any proof that you're my ummati? If you have a proof, fine, I'll help you. If there's no proof, then go away." And then he saw the other person that he was, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was supporting him and comforting him. And he was there, he was a Muslim. Now the person woke up and he was quite obviously quite alarmed, seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream and being treated in this way. He realized that the lady that had come, he must have sent her back. So he tried to send someone to try to chase her and find her. Obviously he was a king. He was one of the sardars. She managed to trace her. The lady was brought back, and he asked her, "Okay, what do you need?" She said, "I don't need anything." He said, "But you came to me yesterday." She said, "But you didn't help me. But the other person who was non-Muslim, he helped me." He said, and then he realized that person he'd seen him with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream. So he said, "How is that possible?" So he sent for the other person who was a non-Muslim, tried to get to know him. What was his story? And he learned that the person had embraced Shahada, he had embraced Islam the night before. And then when he met him, the person said that the dream that you had, I had the same dream. The Prophet ﷺ turned you away, but he accepted me, and Allah SWT gave me tawfiq. Allah SWT gave me tawfiq, and I accepted Islam, and as I saw the signs, but the Prophet ﷺ rejected you, and he asked you for the proof. So this is what happens. We have these kind of stories. So Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if someone comes and even makes a false claim, we do not just ignore it. We do whatever we can, but thereafter we try not to abuse anyone who says that I'm from the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have some respect. And this is what we are taught throughout generations. Throughout generations, Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this ummah, were always held in high esteem. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah devoted himself to the service to the service of Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah did the same. Imam Malik rahimahullah did the same. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah did the same. All these elders of ours, they held Ahl Bayt in a very high esteem. But this is something that most of us have now forgotten. They're supposed to be in the Muslim states, in the Muslim countries, a part of the treasury, part of the money, the wealth, it was part of the budget, was reserved for Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I remember correctly, from the things, whatever, the spoils of war, or kind of natural resources, the mines and treasures that they discover, about 4% was meant to be, or 0.4% was meant to be, I think it's 4%, 4% was meant to be reserved for the needs of Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's 4% is a huge sum, isn't it? But Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they need to be treated well, they need to be looked after. So, but this is the right of Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forget that. We have many charities, They collect donations, sadaqat, zakat, but hardly there's anyone who cares about the needs of Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to, brothers, I think I said this 6 months ago, a while back, and I'm repeating today, every masjid should have special, special regard for Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their vicinity, in their neighborhood. Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be treated with ikram, and they should be treated with some respect, and people should make an effort to reach out to them and take care of them, their children, if there are any orphans, if there are any widows, if there are any yatims, if there are any single individuals, we should make an effort to look after them. They have a special right over us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his right is above every right. So if we start treating Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way that they deserve, then this will strengthen our iman, and this will bring great fortune to the individuals and to the community at large. Everyone will receive divine protection. Everyone will receive this divine barakat. And mashallah, our elders, like they did other things, Hazrat Mawlana Sumatullah Sahib rahimahullah, I remember somebody mentioned it to me. And now this since we started making this effort here, mashallah ka fadal hai, locally patani has made a difference or not. But in down south, mashallah, a charity has now emerged and devoted to the service and to the needs of Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They won't ask you to give them your zakat. They will not ask you to give them any sadaqah. But they ask you to make donations or give us gift and hadiyah to the charity. And the charity then takes it and then they support the Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all these affected regions in India, in Bangladesh, in Burma, and in other parts of the world, in Kashmir. They make, because the brothers are of Indian descent, so they are making effort in those regions. And now in Africa as well. Last time I heard that Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who are in Africa and they're in need of sadaat, then they make an effort and reach out to them. You can do the same for people in Pakistan. You can do the same for people in your region, wherever you come from. So make an effort. That, and if you come across sadaat, and even in Glasgow, there are Ahlul Bayt Nabi sadaat in Glasgow. In fact, there are some ulama in Glasgow as well who are from Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should make an effort to look after these people. And so this is something that I've said before, and now today I repeated it. But last week we were talking about Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. I'll try and sum it up in about 5-10 minutes. Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, her demise, when she passed away, it was said that Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, when she passed away, her janazah was led by Sayyidina, her funeral salah was led by Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Last week we talked about it in detail, and any myths, any kind of propaganda here, and nonsense, and things that are ridiculous claims from some elements that unfortunately have made Ahlul Bayt controversial. They're not controversial, they're part of the mainstream. Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, her ghusl was performed by the wife of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The body of Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, when she passed away, and I think I gave you the dates as well last week. Does anyone remember? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in June, and she passed away 6 months later. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in the month of Rabiul Awwal. She passed away in the month of Ramadan. Yes? And in the month of Ramadan, she passed away, Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. People obviously in the month of Ramadan, she passed away, I think, round about between Maghrib and Isha, round about in the evening. And her janazah was performed during the night, because she had instructed that my janazah should be performed during the night time, and she wanted her body not to be seen by anyone. So at the time Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was present, and it was a time of huge turmoil. It was a time when the first year after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise was probably the most difficult year for the ummah. For it was probably the most difficult time for Sahaba radiallahu anhu. On one side, they were grieving. There was this sense of overwhelming bereavement. They had lost the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The tragedy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said would be the greatest for this ummah. There's no tragedy that can be compared with the tragedy of losing the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was, on one side, there was this overwhelming pain. And then on the other side, there were people who were making false claims to be prophets. Musaylimah al-Kadhab, Aswad Anasi, and Yama, and all these people, Tulayha, and these people, and they were trying to take control of Arabia. And there were Muslims, there were the recent converts, those who had come to Islam not so long ago, they became confused. If a Nabi of Allah, why did he pass away? And after him, was it really a Nabi of Allah or not? So on one day previously they said Shahada, but now they're confused and they were wasawis. And in this time, Sahaba Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood like a giant, like a mountain. And people like Umar radiallahu anhu, they were finding comfort and solace in the company of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was supporting everyone. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and they all became one unit. And they were busy guarding the city of Medina. Medina became under attack. Can you even imagine? That Medina, that was the heart of the Muslim state during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Islam had spread to the far corners of the region. Now the very Medina comes under attack, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to personally fight off some of the invaders in the streets of Medina, in the suburbs of Medina. Ali radiallahu anhu is patrolling, Zubair radiallahu anhu is patrolling, Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu is patrolling. These guys, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is patrolling, and these patrols were in and guarding Medina. And at this difficult time when Medina was and the Sahaba were dealing with it, and mashallah successfully, within 1 year everything was brought under control, the calm was restored and the order was restored, and everything became as he was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but at a huge cost. More than 700 Huffaz Sahaba were lost in one battle. This is the time when Umar radiallahu anhu got up and he said, Abu Bakr, O Amir Khalifa Rasulullah, we need to put the Quran together, we need to put the Mus'haf together. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, do you want me to do something which the Prophet himself did not do? And Umar radiallahu anhu insists, Hada wallahi khair, by Allah, this is the right thing to do. And he keeps on repeating, and until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open my chest for Islam, for this mission, for this task. So he calls for Zayd ibn Thabit, and he calls for some other, he says, you are a young man, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he trusted your recitation, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave you the certificate, ijaza. So now you should put the Quran together. In one Mus'haf, write it down together as it was. And Zayd says, this was probably the very difficult task. But he did it, subhanallah. So during this time of great turmoil, Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha passes away in the month of Ramadan. And now the very wounds that were kind of gradually healing in the 6 months, they again became bare open. And now the people of Medina was overwhelmed with pain and grief. They say that you could hear cries in every household of Medina. It was just like the Prophet ﷺ had passed away that night. Everybody was crying, everybody was in tears. And then obviously when it came to the janazah of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, you can only imagine what Medina was going through. But then the fake narrative here is that the janazah of Fatima radiallahu was performed only by 5 people. Now this is pathetic. Even the very suggestion is such a foolish suggestion that no one would ever believe that Fatima radiallahu anha, people heard that she'd passed away and they just went home and they slept. It's not possible. So Medina and it is said that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came for janazah and Ali radiallahu anhu was present. And Umar radiallahu anhu was present, and all the main Sahaba were present, and they expected that Ali radiallahu anhu would lead in Salah. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they thought this is the janazah of Ahlul Bayt, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lead janazah of the members of his household. He led the janazah of Ruqayyah radiallahu anha's janazah. He's one of the first daughter that passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Badr, so he couldn't be there to lead the janazah Salah. Uthman radiallahu anhu was there; he must have led the janazah Salah. After that, next was Ummi Kulthum, I think. She passed away next. Her janazah Salah was led by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Then came Zainab, she passed away. Her janazah was led by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Then came Ibrahim ibn Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He passed away. His janazah was led by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So he would lead the janazah of the members of his household. So at this time they thought that Ali radiallahu anhu would do the same because it was his wife that had passed away. And Ali radiallahu anhu was held in high esteem. He was a very respected member and a very, very respected person among Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu expected him to lead janazah salah. But Ali radiallahu anhu goes there. He notices the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu present in the crowd, he says, Abu Bakr, we prayed salah behind you. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you used to lead us in salah under the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For 17 prayers you led us. You were our imam when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying on his deathbed in the chamber next to the masjid. and he heard your Allahu Akbar, and he heard your Sami Allahu liman hamida, and he said that Abu Bakr should lead salah, nobody else should lead salah. And at the time, once Abu Bakr was a little, he was held back and he couldn't make it on time. And people thought that while we're waiting for Abu Bakr, why not ask someone else to lead salah? So they insisted that Umar, you lead us in salah. And the prophets, people were getting ready to lead, push Umar to the musalla and be and make him their imam. And the Prophet was informed that Abu Bakr he's late, he hasn't made it, and people are thinking that Umar should lead them in salah. And the Prophet said, stop Umar. Umar should not lead people in salah. Only Abu Bakr will lead people in salah. The Prophet did not give permission to Umar to be the imam when Abu Bakr was present in the crowd. He was not even present in the crowd. He said, he's late, wait for him. Wait for him, only he will be in salah. He said, Ya Allahu wal mu'minuna illa Abu Bakr. Allah will not give permission, and the mu'min will not agree on anyone other than Abu Bakr. So he has to be Abu Bakr. Umar is not allowed to go to the musalla when Abu Bakr, while Abu Bakr is there, and they're waiting for him. So now Ali remembered, he knew everything, that this is what happened in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not give us permission to pray behind Abu Umar when Abu Bakr was late. He was meant to be imam, he was late. He said, you must wait for Abu Bakr. So how could Ali go and lead janazah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha? So he notices Abu Bakr there. So he goes and he holds Abu Bakr from his arm and he pushes him to the front. And Abu Bakr looks at him and said, Ali, you want me to lead janazah? You the husband. You Ahlul Bayt, you the husband, you should do it. So he says, no, not while you are present. You will be leading the janazah salah. So Abu Bakr goes to the front and he leads the janazah of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. And remember that Sayyidina Abu Bakr who was very close to Sayyidah Fatima. And I'll give you another, the mayyit of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha was washed by the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Her name is Asma bint Umays. Now Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha, it was her washing the mayyit of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra, giving ghusl to her, and Ali radiallahu anhu. So they were helping. Ali was helping, and Sayyidah Asma bint Umays, she was the wife of the Prophet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You could say at the time she was the first lady of Islam because she was the wife of the Khalifa. So first lady of Islam is washing the mayyit of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is why I say the ummah fulfilled the right of Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The ummah understood the value of Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nobody else deserved to be there other than the first lady of Islam. She was, you could say, like a queen, even though she didn't act like a queen, but she was the first lady of Islam, and she served like a maid. She served Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. So, and Asma bint Umays, she was previously, before she was married to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, she was married to the brother of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Humare Urdu mein kehte hain ki Asma radiallahu anha Hazrat Ali ki bhabi thi. اور جب حضرت علی کے بھائی کا انتقال ہو گیا تو بھائی کے انتقال کے بعد حضرت اسماء کا نکاح حضرت ابو بکر سے ہوا اور پھر جب حضرت ابو بکر کا انتقال ہو گیا تو حضرت اسماء کا نکاح تیسرا نکاح حضرت علی سے ہوا تو حضرت علی کی بھابی پہلے ان کے بھائی کے نکاح میں ہیں بھائی شہید ہو گئے حضرت ابو بکر کے نکاح میں گئیں جب حضرت ابو بکر کا انتقال ہو گیا تو پھر حضرت علی سے ان کا نکاح ہوا یہ وہ بھابی یہ خاتون اسماء یہ حضرت فاطمۃ الزہرا رضی اللہ عنہا کو غسل دے رہی ہیں اور یہ اسماء بڑی سٹرانگ وومن ہے میں نے پچھلے ہفتے عرض کیا تھا یہ اسماء وہ ہیں جنہیں حضرت عمر کو بھی چپ کرا دیا تھا ایک موقع پہ حضرت عمر نے کچھ جملے کہے اسماء سیدھی آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس گئیں کہا کیسے ہو سکتا ہے کہ آپ یہ بات کہیں آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے حضرت اسماء کی تائید کی اور حضرت عمر کو چپ ہونا پڑا سو اسماء واز ویری سٹرانگ اے وومن دیٹ سائلنسز سمون لائک عمر رضی اللہ عنہ شی واز ناٹ این اورڈینری وومن سو شی واز دی وائف آف جعفر طیار رضی اللہ عنہ اینڈ ون جعفر واز مارٹرڈ ان دی بیٹل آف موتہ She married Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, she then married the brother of her first deceased husband, Ja'far radiallahu anhu. She married her brother Ali radiallahu anhu. So Ali radiallahu anhu and Asma radiallahu anha, this is just like one big family. So there is no rivalry between Ali and Abu Bakr. Ali radiallahu anhu didn't feel uncomfortable that my sister-in-law, after my husband's martyrdom, she went and married our enemy, because he didn't see Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as their enemy. Ali never thought that Abu Bakr there was no ill feelings between them. There was no hatred, there was no dislike. They were one unit. And this is why it's important to to see things in their true color. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq di to, inshallah we'll continue next week. Allah Ta'ala hamein aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki mahabbat ata farmaye, sahaba ikram ki mahabbat ata farmaye, ahl-e-bayt se mahabbat ata farmaye, aur Allah Ta'ala hamein deen iman ki hifazat farmaye. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin was salatu was salam ala sayyidil mursalin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات، وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات، وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات، وترفعنا بها أعلى الدرجات، وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات. إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة وفي فلسطين، اللهم انصر عبادك المستضعفين في كل مكان. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن، ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل، ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل، ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. ربنا لا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يرحمنا ولا يخافك فينا. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. اللهم إنا نسألك الخير كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين.